Alright, welcome to Mediocre Movies. We're on the quest to find the most okay movie of all time.
Alright!
CBS. We have just watched John Mulaney's Hello Broadway, please. That's great.
No, that's great. Not mediocre. That's really good.
But irrelevant. We're here to find the white t-shirt of movies.
Just the bland.
The bland nothing. Bland. Can get better, can get worse. Is there anything? Oh, we watch movies between 35% and 65%
on Rotten Tomatoes, just to give us like a clear guide.
Good frame,
the inner third. Yeah. And
so all you people out there who are complaining like, oh, this movie's actually like a 75 on IMDb or something. Doesn't matter. Doesn't count. We're only doing Rotten Tomatoes.
All those people who don't tweet at us or don't comment on the leaks.
All the entire people. Human race.
Right. Yeah.
All you haters out there who are silently...
In fact, we're just talking to ourselves right now.
Almost immediately. Actually, you know we have one listener? Kayla's boyfriend, Jonathan.
Oh.
He loves our podcast, and I think that's the only person, because we have like 2 downloads an episode.
Good on him.
One's me, and I think the other one is him, because I know it's none of you.
Do we have mediocre listeners?
We have mediocre listeners. He's a pretty okay guy.
Come tweet at us, John.
He's probably going to listen to this.
This isn't the mediocre Jonathan podcast.
Yeah.
Although, shout out to Jonathan.
Actually, my brother listened to one.
That's good.
Oh, really?
He's really offended that we called it mediocre, so he's like, oh, why is it mediocre?
We'll have him on to argue with him. We'll have him on to yell at him. If you want to be on, just message the Facebook page, and we'll let you on the podcast, and we'll yell at you.
Yeah.
He loves Space Jam, so he's going to be offended again.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
All
right. Oh, man. All right. Also, just
as another formality, this episode is dedicated to Kayla's boyfriend, Jonathan.
Yes, now it is.
Because
he listens.
Yeah.
All right. We'll introduce ourselves and then we'll get into the movie. I'm Riley, the host for most weeks.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Gil Vice Anchan, I'm not sure.
That's Keaton.
And I am Brad.
B-Rad.
This week, we watched Mars Attacks. It has a Rotten Tomato score of 52, directed by Tim Burton. Actually, before we get into this, Kyle, do you want to have a little rant on why you find this the worst project that you've ever taken part in so far?
Just to specify, I'm talking about this podcast.
This podcast, not another project.
Not this episode, but this...
Yeah. Kyle... Air your grievances with
both
podcasts.
Bad and good movies have things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Mediocre movies have nothing to talk about, and that's what makes them mediocre by definition, is you can't talk about them.
Yeah.
See, I would say you can talk about them.
All right, podcast over. See you later.
Well,
Jonathan, it's been a pleasure.
We got some 10 or 11 episodes. I think we're going to pack it up now. We've found rock bottom. See, I'd argue that you have a lot to talk about in a mediocre movie, because a lot of the movies have really strong points. And then really strong, like, negative points.
This is not
like,
one of those movies, though.
Yeah, I mean...
middle of the road, nothing good or bad about it.
Well, I mean...
We'll find out.
Like, we're talking about the... I suppose we're talking about, like, the absence of things.
Yeah.
More than anything, I think, like...
Yeah. Well, I mean, because, like, on previous episodes, at least the ones that I've been involved in personally, we end up talking about things that could improve. Or things that we would add or we'd like to see to improve.
Or just throw like a what if.
Oh, the what if.
Like, this is,
look,
this is
Kyle, for the fact that our episodes usually end up being like 40 minutes long.
To an hour.
Boggles my mind too.
Absolutely talking shit the entire time.
Yeah, true. We do get into that.
Rambles and Kayla's boyfriend, Jonathan, likes it.
Yeah, apparently he actually laughs at it.
Thank you.
The absolute madman.
I have questioned his sanity.
We appreciate it.
So, is that your only grievances with the show?
Big grievance, but yeah, that's the only one. You got
were you were, like, apart from fundamentally disagreeing with the concept of the show.
Do you have anything else?
Apart from hating everything about it, do you hate anything else? Or?
No, that's it.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, we'll get back to
this podcast is not mediocre.
Take this customer support ticket.
Wait on line.
We'll get back to it.
Yeah.
All right, so we watched Mars Attacks. Does anybody have anything they want to open with? Apart from Kyle's grievance,
okay.
This movie has nothing in it.
So,
try the info.
Tim Burton directed. Rotten Tomato score of 52, so it's almost a perfect middle of the road movie for us.
It was based off of a trading card.
Card game.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty cool.
Like,
that's actually pretty cool.
That sets the.
Yeah.
Sets about the era.
Well, look, so I had heard of the movie by name before, or maybe it was the trading card game even. But Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks.
Yeah, Mars Attacks. And then yes, it was
the movie.
I don't even know the movie
we're talking about. Oh my god! This guy. I thought we were doing Wolf Creek. But anyway,
please did not mention the infamous episode.
What surprised me was the kind of the budget that they were working with, because there are so many A-list celebrities.
There is a lot.
$70 million, just for those listening at home too lazy to
right.
look yeah. it up. $70 million budget.
It's do crazy. We want to talk about?
Because that's like, I think the cast is definitely one of the things that
you think it's going to make it amazing.
Can we go through it?
We'll go through it. May as well.
Starting at the top, you have Jack Nicholson in a dual role. I think he only got offered one, and he loved the script so much he demanded two.
Yeah,
I think he wanted to be everybody, and they were like, "Sorry, Jack Nicholson, we're going to have to cast a woman to play a woman." Yeah. And he was like, "How dare you?"
So first of all, off the bat, you got Jack Nicholson
as the president,
as two characters,
and he's the president.
How can this be bad?
And the Las Vegas
realtor
kind of guy.
Yeah, okay,
yet the same character in both roles.
Yes,
somehow.
Big crazy smile guy.
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson. And then you have Glenn Close
as the first lady.
The first lady. You have a young Natalie Portman as the daughter.
You got a young Jack Black as a soldier.
Billy
Pierce Brosnan.
He was in it. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Michael J. Fox.
Danny DeVito.
I can't remember who the guy.
Tom Jones.
Martin Short. See, like, look, the fact that we're just listing these names right now, like, this is a huge ensemble piece.
Yeah, and that's the list just goes on, like it is.
Like,
it and just cameos as well. Yeah. There's a lot of cameos and stuff.
It feels like that was the problem that I think Kyle had when we were watching the movie.
It's like everyone's a cameo.
Yeah,
for a long period of time.
That's true.
And a lot of the stories, I thought it was doing really well, where it had everyone kind of doing separate stories and they were going to tie in together.
Yeah.
And then some of them did not tie in. Yeah. And I was like, this is really kind of annoying.
Yeah.
And
probably half of them did not tie in together.
Yeah, in the end.
Yeah,
no. Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed. I mean, I don't know who the boxer guy was. I don't know if he was anyone famous, but the guy who was the pharaoh, and then he had to go save his... His wife or kids. He just wanted to go see them.
He's just a ledge.
Yeah, he was just a legend.
Just saving people.
Who literally beat the shit out of like 50 aliens with his bare hands at the end of the movie.
Yeah, and he's a badass.
Why did I agree
don't that mess
that?
With him.
Yeah. There's a lot
just
of shit.
Shot him.
So like literally everyone famous from like 1996. And just quickly, this came out around the exact same time as Independence Day. Yeah. It's not a parody.
No.
Of Independence Day. Or a spoof. And they just released
it's
the
just
exact
like
same
a coincidental.
Plot.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh.
And then, like, Independence Day is kind of structured almost in the same way.
Yeah.
Where you kind of have, like, a heap of interconnecting sort of plots, but.
They all tie in.
Yeah, they kind of come together at the end, but.
This does not
do that. Yeah.
And then you have Michael J. Fox and Sarah Jessica Parker as the news ladies. I'm just reading the notes as I took them.
Yeah.
And the dog that was really loud and annoying. Which. Sarah Jessica Parker's head is then put on the dog midway through the movie. I thought that was mildly funny, and then I was kind of over it pretty quickly.
I feel like, and a lot of what a lot of people have sort of said about this movie is that it dips into, like, political satire.
Yes.
Like, fairly heavily handed, like, in terms of, like, even that idea of, like, the media is like a yappy sort of dog.
Yeah.
Is kind of like at the center of that. That's what I imagine is
where
was
kind
the
of,
idea behind that.
Yeah, their first question was like, are we going to be able to interview the aliens? And it's like, come on, we need
to. Was just like a massacre and there's.
Yeah, and they're like, we want to talk to the aliens. And it's like, you can't. You got to.
Yeah.
Be chill. Except Michael J. Fox, he's all jealous and annoyed that girlfriend or whatever is getting all the
attention.
Attention when his news program or whatever is getting nothing.
GNN, which I think is a clever parody of CNN. They went for the big one there.
I feel like that's kind of what they were kind of reaching for. I don't know, like even...
Possibly. You could maybe get that if you really...
If you're an English teacher teaching year 12.
Yeah, I mean, look...
You'd reach for that.
I would say it was more like, from when I was watching it, it just felt like more like a spoof or a parody off of maybe certain news stations or reporters or whatnot,
mm-hmm. yeah.
as opposed to a satirical outlook on the media industry as a whole.
Yeah.
I think that might be a bit too much of a critical look, but you might be absolutely right, though.
But like, I probably wouldn't say this film is that deep. I would, I'd be hesitant to argue that that's what
Tim Burton's not like going for. It's not like an introspective sort of look at... not introspective, but it's not an in-depth look at, like,
politics. We're going to do what we did to Happy Gilmore. We're going to take a very dumb comedy and make it a Marxist text.
But, I mean, like...
again.
It's a comment on aliens.
But, unreal. I mean, you know, like, you can go down any number of paths and, like, look at it as, like, an allegory for
any number of things.
Like, you know, the fact that, like, the aliens... sort of speak in like a different language.
And it's a duck's quack reversed.
Yeah.
That was the noise.
You went up with ack, ack, ack. Yeah.
Which was stupid because that's like if we only went, and that was all our communication.
Hey, you can't, well, I mean, you don't know what that language is. You can't make that assumption.
It's a duck's quack backwards.
You can't hear the discrepancies in the tone.
Yeah.
It's true. I can't.
It's representative of another.
What do you guys think about the aliens in this movie? Because that's like,
I thought they were well done.
They look great.
Yeah, I thought they were really good.
I like
really enjoy them.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, this is not... like, they're not terrible looking. I think if they wanted to go for more B-schlock, like, B-film...
Well, they were originally meant to be stop motion.
Yeah.
Like, it was originally meant to be, like, stop motion sort of...
See, that would have been, like, really good.
That's cool.
Sort of thing.
That would have been good because it would have suited the... I think what they were trying to go for in this movie. Where it looked too clean and professional.
All right. So,
by today's standards, the CG in it is just shocking.
So, to kind of clear some ambiguities around it, basically, the movie, from my understanding, is kind of Tim Burton's foray into trying to recreate, or like, it's an homage to B grade cinema.
It's meant to be a B, like, a. Yeah. They come from... is it Attack from Planet 9 or they come from Planet 9?
It's just a riff on...
but it's like just that, a riff on like that kind of... that genre of like, cinema, right?
You know...
old sci-fi. 1950s, 60s sci-fi.
Yeah, and then you sort of bring in things like... there's sort of... references to like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a lot of different... yeah. Like it's kind of a big amalgam of like...
yeah, it's an amalgam of movies and it's more so indicative of that kind of cheaper end of cinema... well, a lower budget.
It's meant to feel like that.
It's meant to... No. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's an homage to it. It's meant to feel like that. It's supposed to be representative of that, indicative of that.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, one of the issues that the movie has is that... because I think it's at a time when a lot of B-grade cinema is starting to rise in popularity. We're starting to see it more and more. Which is... I mean, that's the reason why we made this podcast in the first place of mediocre movies. Because we could have done bad movies or B-grade films. But that's...
different.
Kind of... well, I mean, that's being fairly overdone these days because it's starting to rise in popularity, right? And so what I'm seeing is that whereas a lot of B-grade films can actually be quite good because of that kind of...
they embrace it.
There's this charisma to how cheap it is.
Yeah, me and Brad, we like to watch trauma films because trauma films are not movies that are based on plot... but on like
just schlock,
using sausages as intestine and like just the most amount of fake blood you can possibly afford in a movie to explode from one guy's head.
See, like I enjoy the Sharknado series because I just find it endearing how cheap it is, right?
Yeah.
But and what I found is when watching Mars Attacks is that it's an because of the budget, it's actually supposed to be listed. I would list it more so in line with like an A-list film. It's $70 million. The budget was $70 million. You got an A cast, so like.
An all-star cast
directed by Tim Burton.
Yeah.
You know, you got
Danny Elfman does the music.
It's scored by Danny Elfman.
Famous from The Simpsons.
And so like
and probably something
oh, and a bunch Batman. Of other things. Batman, The Nightmare Before Christmas. Danny Elfman's been he's a top
Young Money.
Top bloke. Anyway, like point being is that I just feel like because of the amount of money that they actually had, it kind of misses the whole point of a B-grade film where they make it and it's kind of crappy and cheap because, well, that's all the money that they could have afforded.
It's so, like, to draw a comparison. So you're saying like Tim Burton should have made this in his garage?
No. I mean, I just think that Tim Burton for what he was trying to achieve, I think he did a fairly fair job. I just feel like it's unfortunate that it's being received the way it is.
Yeah.
But it's the reason why it is being received the way it is because I feel like with the introduction of such high professional kind of qualities.
Yeah,
and a big budget.
And a huge budget, it kind of misses the mark a little bit.
Yeah.
And then kind of, instead of either being an extremity of really good or really bad, it hits that middle mark of mediocrity, which is why we're here today, right?
Which, I think that's the most important thing that kind of detracts from this movie, is that I think it's a movie that thinks it takes itself too high above what it should be.
Yeah.
It takes itself as like, we're going to be an A-grade movie about B-grade movies. And it's taking itself like, it's taking itself too seriously or too high for the low bar that it's setting.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're going to, because when you'd be like, we're going to make a really good B-movie, that's just an A movie.
That doesn't make any sense, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get how it was pitched.
Well, I mean, there is this...
Hey, I got a trading card. I think we should make a whole bunch of movies about
it. It looks pretty cool.
It's really a B-grade movie, but give me $70 million
we'll
for it.
We'll get Jack Nicholson in it twice.
They wanted 60... Warner Brothers was like, we'll give you $60 million. He's like, So he made it for $60 million. He's like, we need $10 million more. And he's like,
to make this B-grade movie, Tim?
And like it's interesting, like you said, Independence Day came out
exact same time
around the same time, like I think. Yeah, and then even Men in Black the next year, which kind of dabbles into that sort of B grade sort of it came from the start.
Yeah, like kind of like
it's a better example.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like it's so, and that came out a year.
It does it right?
That's a great movie too.
Yeah,
but you know what I mean? It's like it's taking that sort of B grade thing, even like all the stuff with like the agents in the field and like.
That's a very good point.
You know, it sort of feels like a modern B movie.
Yeah.
But it doesn't try, like, it's not, I don't think it's trying to be a B movie. Whereas this is trying so hard to be a B movie that
so
it just sort of gets sunk in its own.
Yeah.
Sort of quirkiness. And I mean, you know, that's a criticism I think a lot of people throw at Tim Burton, where he's sort of looking for style and.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sort of.
It kind of gets.
Over substance.
It kind of gets up its own butt, which is kind of like, we're too good for what we're doing. And it's like, when you make a B-movie, you can't pretend you're too good to be making a B-movie. You've kind of got to go, we need it to be kind of bad.
Yeah.
But this movie is like, we're trying to be really good, but also be really bad, and then we hit where we are now.
I feel like for me to, when I was watching the movie, for me to enjoy the movie and kind of understand where it was coming from, I had to view it as more of a... kind of more like a visual art piece as opposed to a movie, as opposed to like storytelling, right? I took it as everything that I was watching was kind of like a stylistic element.
It's kind of a tone choice. Poem.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Instead of that's why I feel like it might be a little too harsh to compare it to the canon of filmography, right? Because it doesn't belong there. Because to me, I feel like for me to understand what's going on, I need to appreciate it as an homage to B films.
Yeah.
And that, in that essence, it's kind of...
It misses.
It misses, but also it's one of a kind. I can't think of any other movie which is an A-grade film with an A-grade budget, but is trying to be it. You know what I mean? Like,
There'd probably be
some. I mean, I'm sure there are some, but...
It's not a film that you go out and watch.
Yeah.
Like Kyle wouldn't.
They tried to be bad and they nailed it.
Yeah. They didn't nail being bad.
No, they didn't nail being bad.
They missed being bad.
They
were just like, it was halfway.
Not a good bad. Being bad, bad.
Kyle did like, I don't think I looked at it as a tone poem.
Yeah,
or like,
I mean, and that's
we tried to watch it as a movie.
It's a movie, yeah.
Because it is a movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I mean, that's 100%. That's a fair point.
One of the very few things that I really, really liked about this movie, and Kyle agreed when I said it, is that this is the film where the smart guy is wrong. This is one of the films where Pierce Brosnan's like, they're an advanced civilization and they'll be much nicer than us because, you know, by definition, they're advanced, meaning peaceful. And the army guy's like, shoot the fuck out of them.
Nuke him.
Please, nuke him. And every time he's like, no, don't do it. And then they die again. And he's like, can we nuke him now? No. And it's like, just please, nuke them already.
Yeah.
And I really like that. I mean, in the same time, you have all these movies that are about, you kind of ignore the smart guy and the scientist who's trying to tell you the right thing to do.
Yeah, he's...
Look at Evolution that we watched.
Yeah, Evolution, yeah.
Evolution, they just ignore the smart guy the whole way
yeah.
and listen to the dumb guy, and they're wrong. But in this movie, they listen to the smart guy, and the dumb guy was wrong, and I prefer that trope, I think, in a movie where you have the guy who would usually be wrong being like, look, they're clearly going to kill us. They've surrounded our planet. They're probably not here for fun. Can we please just kill them already?
Right. I almost feel like Mars Attacks is almost like an anti-film. It does everything the exact opposite of what we're expecting in the traditional norms of cinema.
Yeah. yeah.
Right? It's taking all the tropes that we normally do, turns it on its
head. You expect all these actors. Yeah. Well, I mean, Jack Black dies. Really quickly. He maybe gets like 15 minutes of screen time.
It was really fast.
He runs out and he goes, die, you alien scum, or whatever.
And he does.
And then he just gets zapped. And you're like, oh, that's beat. Right.
Yeah.
He's not a hero. He's just a guy. And then Michael J. Fox, that was so quick. I'll save my girlfriend, who I have animosity towards. And then he reaches out and then he dies immediately. And I was like, oh shit.
They were setting him up at the start with the jealousy and the girlfriend and a little bit of storyline, and then
I really liked that they killed him. Because it was kind of like, oh, no, it kind of set the tone for the film that no one's important enough to not die.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of like, oh, here we go.
Which is good compared to something like Independence Day.
Yeah.
Where you're like, all right, somebody's going to survive.
Somebody's
probably.
In the movie that happened as well, the boxing guy.
Yeah, that was weird, but. I think
that was weird.
Yeah,
no, that's an exaggeration. It's fine.
But like, I enjoyed that it was someone who was, you know, that they kind of murdered characters without really being like, oh no, we murdered this character. Like Pierce Brosnan just gets abducted and loses his body, and then he dies in the ship with Sarah Jessica Parker, I assume.
Yeah. See, in
I'll get to the
end. He had an ending though. Like, he finds love and
with a dog woman.
Gee, fuck, that had nothing.
In my mind. I can kind of respect the movie and Tim Burton because he just does all these outrageous things that we just don't normally expect, which is cool, you know, for such an acclaimed Hollywood director and working within the system, he's basically dismantling that system, which is kind of cool to see. Unfortunately, I don't necessarily think it's like a great critical movie,
no,
but it's really cool to see someone trying to break the creative paradigms that we've set up for generations.
There's a reason they're there.
No, that's true. That is true.
And we found out why. What's a good movie?
I have to say, just a small recommendation. If you want to, like, if you want a really good film about Tim Burton sort of taking on schlocky science fiction stuff that is actually a good movie, watch Ed Wood, because it's about, like, the dude who
directed,
like, Plan 9 from Outer Space and all that sort of stuff. Really,
he was a B-film guy.
You know, so, and it's kind of in line with his sort of admiration for that time period, sort of 50s sort of.
I think it just means, because, like, Ed Wood never thought it was above the material.
Yeah.
And I feel like Tim Burton
approached I think Ed Wood kind of begrudged the material a little bit.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, not trying to draw comparisons between those two, but, like... I think a big part of, you know, they say that you can't really like make a cult film, and I think like in the same way you can't really make a B movie.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can tick all the boxes and you can say like, this is there, this is there, this is there.
It has to be a cult movie with all these ticks.
You have to, I think when you want to make a B movie, you have to find the budget that you need. And then, like, take a quarter of it and be like, I'm going to make this movie now.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the way that you do it. Or you I can't afford VHX, like, VFX. I'm going to get a string and dabble, like, images. A thing, and you're like, you can't afford VHX.
You shouldn't be like, I'm going to make $170 million. I mean, like, fuck, what do we know about making movies? But, like, you wouldn't be like, I'm going to take $70 million and make one B movie. You would be like, I'm going to take $70 million and make 70 B movies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just...
It's
And you know what as well, though? I don't want to say that Tim Burton is necessarily... He thinks he's necessarily above the films that he's making. Or, you know, like he's, you know, a higher... I just feel like because he is a director within the Hollywood scene, well-respected, we kind of place these assumptions on Burton and the works that
he
does.
And you can tell he's enjoying it. You can tell he's enjoying making the thing.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Which is cool.
Yeah. Based off the card game or whatever. He would have just been inspired by that. And, yeah, that's pretty cool.
I don't think he wrote... I mean, that's pretty cool. He didn't write the script. Some two other guys did. I don't have that written down. But, like, yeah, he still got attached to direct it. And he would still have to be, I'm interested. Like Jack Nicholson was.
But to be fair with you, like, I'm just thinking in his shoes. I would say it'd be pretty fun to film. Like, it's such a, like, an off-the-wall kind of, like, an outrageous
plot. Which is probably why you can get a cast as sort of talented and thing as you can. Because you can just be like, come in for a day... You know, you're gonna run out and be like, die, you aliens.
Michael J. Fox, I think, is in two locations. Yeah. He's at the home, and he's in the TV control station, and he's in the desert. So, like, you would imagine they wouldn't be too hard to shoot. And he'd be like, look, come in, film three scenes, and then we'll pay you $1 million and then leave. And he'd be like, all right, that's a fun movie, I'll do that. Right. And you would, if you looked at this on paper, you'd be like, this is going to be a hit. Because, like, look who's in this movie. This has a person for everybody in it.
See, I feel like Mars Attacks is... I actually reckon Mars Attacks was pretty good for Hollywood. In terms of...
It bombed.
No. Not in terms of financial success, not in terms of, you know, critical success. I just think it was
so what is it?
No. Like, I think it was good for Hollywood because it was just so far and away from everything that they used to.
They were trying something new.
It gives directors an opportunity to do something new. It gave the actors something fun to do, something new to do. You know, it wasn't serious. It wasn't so serious.
Quick things that I really liked. I did like the scene where the alien said, we come in peace, and the guy goes, they come in peace, and releases the dove.
That's a really funny
little, like, tidbit. I was like, that was weird, stupid hippies in the desert. Yeah. And then it immediately follows with chaos. Yeah. But I was like, that was all right. But the whole, they come in peace.
Me and Keaton laughed quite a bit. Just a short burst.
Of stupid dove scene. What else did I like? Oh, obviously, Tom Jones. But we'll get to Tom Jones.
Tom.
We'll get to this mildly chronologically, even though I've jumped a bit. I didn't like Jack Nicholson's second role as the... Because I didn't understand where that was going and why it was in the movie. Right. Because he starts off and he's like, I'm going to buy another casino or land for a casino. And then it kind of does a few scenes about that. And then he's standing in one of his casino bits. Yeah. And the building gets blown up by aliens and he dies. And that's the end of his, like, story. And I was like, I don't understand why that had to be...
To be honest with you, any scene with Vegas in it, you can cut it out. Like, honestly...
Oh, no, because...
They are actually quite unimportant. Even Boxing Dude is not that important.
He doesn't do anything. He helps Danny DeVito die.
Danny DeVito was so pointless in it. You know,
he had like, what, 5 lines, I reckon?
That's it.
He was at the beginning when he rolls the dice, and then he's like, why isn't anyone watching me gamble while aliens are landing on Earth?
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm a lawyer, I'll help you get out of here. And then he runs away with them to the plane, and then he dies from an alien because he gets mad. And then he disappears and dies.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, cool. That's weird. I don't know why you were top billed for this movie.
Like... I think that's one of the biggest flaws, obviously, of the film is that, narratively speaking, it doesn't make much sense. Half of it is pointless.
I mean, the only people you need are the president.
The president.
And the kid in the donut shop. Because the kid in the donut shop is the kid who saves them.
President, kid in the donut shop, grandma, because she's the one that
she's
actually...
Yeah, she's with the...
She's the inciting incident for the kid to save the world, basically.
By playing Indian Love Call.
Yeah, which is a great song.
Yeah.
No, Pierce Brosnan, you need...
Kind of. But even after he gets abducted, you don't need it.
No, after he gets abducted,
he can die in that scene, and the movie will not change.
So, I just feel like the movie is a lot of kind of bloated nothingness.
Yes.
But, which is why, when I was watching it, I just had to take it as like a stylistic visual, visual spectacle more so than like a hard-hitting... piece of narrative.
Yeah, it was kind of strange in that regard.
Yeah, it was strange and kind of wonderful, but really strange.
It didn't really go anywhere. And then Sarah Jessica Parker's head gets put on the dog. I thought that scene was weird. I did prefer the dog on Sarah Jessica Parker's body. I thought that was funny. A good bit, But the other way, I was like, I don't. It was quite poorly CGI'd as well. But also, it's hard to make a dog act.
Yeah, but I think that's part of like the... thing. It's like they did a film almost like with like a good portion of it done in CGI.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
like, you know, which at the time, I suppose, like, everybody was just doing that, and it's just like, CGI, it's great, that sort of stuff. And you look at, like, those late 90s films, I think, like, you have, like, you kind of have, like, Jurassic Park.
Yep.
Great film. Oh, great amazing, CGI. Yeah. Amazing. And then it sort of just slumps. Like, they use it sparingly, some things like Titanic and that sort of stuff had it, but for the most part, it wasn't great CGI.
Well, it's expensive, that's why.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, but there's a heap of movies that came out in, like, the tail end of the 90s.
Yeah.
That relied super heavily on CGI. Yeah. And it's just like, and they just look like turds now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, this movie would have benefited so much from just being like, oh yeah.
Because, like, this, I don't think this movie has, like, turd CGI. I think it's quite good CGI. It's just it doesn't
hold up for what
it's not.
The spaceships are really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you know what? Like, I would say it'd be nicer to see kind of less CGI elements, try to replace it with something more realistic. And then when CGI comes in, just make it decent, like Evolution CGI, for example.
Or get Henson and have it all puppets. I would prefer
like it would go over stop motion.
Yeah,
well, I mean, that was the original. Yeah, exactly.
I would have preferred stop motion or, like, puppets, like Yoda puppets.
Yeah.
100%.
And I feel like that actually would have helped quite a bit in terms of trying to achieve that schlocky B-grade aesthetic, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you had, like, animatronic sort of Martians or, like, you know, and sort of
weird robotic movements.
A little jolty.
Also, weird robotic movements. The snake woman lady who breaks into the White House with Martin Short.
So odd.
That was weird. And then when she did the run with the, like, bent elbows.
And she kind of just, like, jiggles forward. It's weird.
It is weird. It had very...
the entire time.
I did did find it funny.
And then bit Martin Short and then murdered him. Which was weird.
Doesn't speak the entire time either.
No, because they can only say ack, 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 so she's not going to say anything.
Martin's like, hey.
Hey.
That's pretty weird.
Get in the car.
You haven't blinked or said a word.
What else do I have, Alien Woman? We've done that. The Big Waggle Finger by Jack Nicholson in the war room.
Do you just write, like, just small little things that you
find that I really enjoyed? Well, it's hard to do that for this movie. There was no, like, the big thing that I liked is that the film is that the smart guy was wrong, and I was like, that's pretty much the only
lie. You're telling me it's hard to write things down about this movie?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh my god, I was right.
His stupid big waggle finger when the marcher comes and he does the rousing speech and then is immediately murdered.
And I was like, cried.
When did Glenn, do you know when Glenn Close died?
She gets crushed by the chandelier.
Yeah.
She does. She does, yes.
The Nancy Reagan chandelier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I learned from the Wikipedia.
Good research.
Which is ironic, because Nancy Reagan was a first lady. She's a first lady.
And she got crushed.
She gets crushed by the first lady chandelier. So.
I don't know if that's irony, but I'll take it.
Neither. I don't know.
It's not irony, it's neither.
Maybe for
Alanis Morissette's ironic. And then they destroy the Washington Monument and they try to crush the children with it. Also, no children die in this movie. They don't shoot any children.
But the children kill so many aliens.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
That bit I loved, actually. Play the video games and then they get involved in real life shooting of aliens and they kill it.
Yeah. And then they just yell at the president.
Yeah, it's like,
what are you doing? Get the president out of here.
No, I enjoyed that. That was good.
That was cool. And they were like war heroes, but no one ever mentioned it. And then they went home and they still got in trouble from their mum.
They didn't get medals. Like,
no.
The granny just played old music.
Also, I found that scene really enjoyable when the aliens go into the nursing home. Not this bit enjoyable. And they murder all the old people. And they find her.
Oh, wow. Right.
And they find her and they wheel in the giant laser. And it's like 6 foot and they've just got the huge thing like pointed right to the back of her head. And she doesn't notice at all.
You know what? Actually, it's kind of reminiscent. There are elements of the scene which are kind of the movie which are kind of reminiscent of like old school cartoons like Looney Tunes like slapstick comedy.
Yeah, there was
like,
a lot of
like the giant like wheeling in the giant laser.
Feels like an Acme prop.
Exactly. Yeah, like Wile E. Coyote. Yeah.
It feels like they're all kind of like just teenagers who are just rampaging through Earth on like a bender.
Yeah.
And they're just like, wee, let's do it like in the craziest way possible.
Like,
I mean, that's a good way to think about it.
They have no intentions. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not enslaving the human race.
They didn't want anything. They were just like, let's just
go. Yeah.
Well, I think they. Like, did they come in peace though? Because
no,
Well, I don't know.
They definitely didn't.
But no, they killed everyone. They're like, we come in peace, and then they just shoot everyone.
I thought they thought that the dove was like a sign of war.
Yeah.
So that's why they start.
But that's what Natalie Portman says. And then they go somewhere else, and they shoot everybody without any dove.
But they repeatedly try. There's the courtroom scene. Yeah. They repeatedly try to go, I don't know what the deal with that bird was, but we do actually come in peace. And then...
And they shoot up like all of like the White House press room or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, this is weird. Stop trying to... And the guy's like, I told you, stop trying to be friends with the aliens. They're murdering everyone. Can I nuke them now? And he's like, no, I think we'll try.
I will say... Again. Like, I feel like that's one of the biggest... In terms of trying to make this... In terms of looking at this movie at a critical lens, mm-hmm. in the way we normally look at critical films...
Pacifism is bad.
Yeah. Pacifism. Well, no. I mean, what I'm looking at is the fact that
if there's a wolf at your door, you drop a nuke.
Absolutely, I am absolutely not invested in any of the characters. I could not care less what happens to any of the characters.
Except for Tom Jones, of course.
Tom Jones is playing Tom Jones. And like the aliens, for example, have no
need.
There's no motive.
But I don't think they need a motive because they're just like.
I mean, they could be like super
like the
enigma.
Drunken teenagers on a bender.
Yeah, that's good. Because they're just like, whee! They send the probe to Mars, and then Mars comes back, and they're like, fuck you. We're just gonna like destroy it because we can, and that's what's fun. And it was really stupid for that.
Back to Army General Guy, I really enjoyed how he was like a perfect caricature of that character.
Yeah.
Recently having watched Iron Giant and the Army General in that just wants to blow up the giant, even though he's obviously friendly dude. It's the exact same scene, but reverse, as you said.
Yeah.
They're not listening to him, but he gets the chance to nuke the Iron Giant.
That's a big trope, isn't it? Like the warmonger,
the warmonger in general. Yeah. Like same as in Atlantis.
They're just like, hey, something different. We should nuke it.
Yeah.
And for the first time in any movie that I've seen in recent times,
they made him right.
They were like, no, this guy's right. Yeah. You should have probably killed them at the beginning when they were unprepared for nukes.
Yeah.
So we'll jump to the ending of the movie now. First, the thing that kills the aliens is Indian Love Corps, which they discover because the grandma listens to from the kid in the donut shop, who's a fairly relevant character to this point, because his brother, Jack Black, dies.
Right,
And he's like, well, I'm going to go save Graham, and he gets in the truck.
That's his whole motive.
That's his motive. He's like, I'm going to die, and if I'm going to die, I'm going to hang out with grandma, because grandma loves me. And he goes there, and she's listening to the music, and the giant laser's pointed at the back of the head. And when she turns around... the headphone jack falls out,
and
the song plays out loud, and the three aliens' heads explode. And the kid's like, I got it.
No, she's like, she's Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah,
she goes from, hey, they're kind of sick, and it's weird, she's got dementia, that's funny. And then she goes, it's the music. And it's like,
I think my music made them sick, and he's like, I think you're right. And so they drive around the truck blasting it, and then blast it in a radio station, and then quickly jumps to the... army knowing that this is what works.
And then the army just blasted everywhere. It's weird.
Well, I mean, that's kind of...
It never, like, explains. It's never like, hey, this... There's no, like, scene where the war drone is like, this kid out in, like, Nevada is just slaughtering these aliens by playing music.
Yeah, just driving around.
Why does the music kill them?
Never explains.
Well, do you think M. Night Shyamalan watched this? Like, he watched this and Wizard of Oz back to back and it's like, I know what's going to kill the aliens.
He's like, perfect.
It's like something stupid, obviously. Something that, up until this point, has never made any sense as to why it would kill them. Kills them!
I mentioned that last night, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very, very stupid.
Mm.
But I think, like, for the whole movie, I think that's where it thought it was too good for itself, because it kind of ends really ridiculously.
Yeah.
And the whole movie didn't really have that tone the whole way. It was kind of a little bit ridiculous, but...
It dips in and out of like that.
It dips
sort of...
in and out of ridiculousness. And that's where this kind of movie loses its touch. Because it's very... I think it's... Although it's not grounded, it tries to appear to be grounded in a realistic scenario.
Yeah. But some of those like B-movies where it's like...
Yeah.
The Day the Earth Stood Still and that sort of stuff, which are schlocky movies. And it is obviously what they're really...
Not the remake.
Not the remake. No, that's very...
Professional.
With
a budget.
Yeah, with a budget.
But,
like, you know, you have, like, the suits, the, like, you know, the governments, that like, the American government sort of response to it. And it's like, you have the Men in Black show up, obviously, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, and that's always played pretty straight.
Yeah.
But those movies didn't tend to end
weird.
Necessarily in that weird sort of...
Yeah, it's kind of like, this is what'll kill him. It's like they realised they were at like an hour and 15. And they're like, we need to end this movie quite soon.
I can't handle those endings where it's just completely out of nowhere and for no reason right in the last 5 minutes. No build up to the rest of the plot at all.
No.
Probably just ran out of money, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just like, alright.
They couldn't buy the,
$10 million.
They couldn't buy the rights to like a good song, and they were like, eh, we'll just pick something old that's probably out of copyright. And they're like, done. Perfect. See, if it was Take On Me, that's a movie I would have enjoyed. If the song was...
This movie's great!
Would it change your opinion that much?
If it was something, stupid, I think it would.
Instead of yodeling.
Yeah, instead of Indian love. Or...
Obviously, it does not make the whole movie good.
No. But...
It's kind of neat.
It's kind of neat. I would be like, that's funny.
Yeah, but, really. I mean, that raises a sort of question of...
Or if it was like Tom Jones
singing. Oh, man, if Tom
Jones...
That's what Kyle was saying last night. Like, so... Okay, so
it should have been... it's not unusual. And like, you just... hear like faintly, and there's a truck driving through the desert, and you hear.
Or just like helicopters with like the big speakers on it.
So,
like,
Tom Jones is in the helicopter, like, singing, yeah. And it's just.
So much better.
A guy, like, on the piano, it's not unusual. It's like the Viet Cong, like, Apocalypse Now scene, he's flying over the jungle.
So, my greatest.
Just alien heads
exploding everywhere.
My greatest issue with Tom Jones, incorporating Tom Jones into the movie, was that. Tom Jones is not playing a character. Tom Jones is playing Tom Jones.
Yeah, it's good.
He's so basically.
Danny DeVito's pretty much not playing a character.
Tom Jones is playing himself as like a Vegas show as Tom.
Which
Jones,
is
right?
what Tom Jones.
Which is what Tom Jones does. But it annoys me because that's all he ever amounts to in the movie. There was so much because since the aliens die from music, there is so much potential
to use Tom Jones.
So easy, to use Tom Jones. It would have been amazing. Like I would have
even
genuinely
if he's yodeling. They could have kept this.
Even
same
if the kid,
I would have enjoyed.
Like if the grandma listened to Tom Jones and It's Not Unusual killed them, and you're like, oh my god. The other part of the car, like characters, they have Tom Jones.
Yeah.
And like Tom Jones could have gotten the plane and be like, I'm gonna put on some music, and puts in like his own cassette or like CD. And all the aliens outside, good one. All the aliens outside die to It's Not Unusual. And he's like, oh my god, fly this plane. And he will like stand on the top of it with like two rays and just sing It's Not Unusual as they fly over like Las Vegas.
And you know what, as well? Incorporating Tom Jones into the. Like, if Tom Jones was the reason why they could defeat all the aliens, it would actually help. Give grounding to the reason why they have these Las Vegas scenes in the first place.
Like the exact same as Star Wars Episode 4, where they're like giving out the medals on the stage, like it was. But like, it's just the kid, the grandma, Tom Jones, and like the black boxer guy, and they were like, this is the highest order.
Yeah,
and Tom Jones is like. Yeah.
So much better. 10 marks easy on Metacritic. 10 high marks.
Yeah.
But I just want to talk about the end where Tom Jones and a woman and another woman emerge from the cage and the cave, and animals flock to them. And she like walks out the cave and puts her hand out, and a bird lands on it. And then Tom Jones comes out and pats a whole bunch of deer, and then catches a falcon on his arm.
It's very odd.
It's
very odd.
And then It's Not Unusual like slowly fades in, and then the credits roll. I was like,
wow.
Was this an ad for Tom Jones? Like they had $60 million, and Tom Jones is like, I'll give you $10 million, but. The last 15 minutes of the movie has to be...
Features this imagery.
Has to exclusively be me. It's like,
and they were like, hey, what about if you're the reason they died? Nah, it's too much.
No.
Which, like, that... Actually, like, a suggestion to make the movie better, that would have been it.
Yeah.
If Not Unusual or What's New Pussycat...
What's New Pussycat?
Bow,
bow. What's New Pussycat? But, like, that would have been so much better.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's the smartest
thing.
Even
a whole movie where you just skip the beginning of the movie and aliens are attacking, and then Tom Jones at home finds out that his music kills the alien, and it's an hour and a half long of Tom Jones like sneaking and then getting up behind people with a trumpet and just going, bah, bah, what's new, pussycat? And the alien's like head explodes. And he's on like reconnaissance missions.
While we were watching it last night, I thought I guessed the ending. I'm like, that's it. Tom Jones is going to sing it. Because it was the yodeling song. I'm like, okay, so that's a bit weird. But he'll sing the yodeling song or whatever.
Yeah, it must be a semi-famous song. But no.
I thought I'd nailed it.
You've got him there. You've got him there. You've got him there on the set. It's just like, all right.
Decent screen time too. Yeah.
And it's not like he doesn't sing the song. So they clearly had the rights to the song.
Yeah.
Because they open, when they first see him, he's singing It's Not Unusual. And you're like, perfect. Also, how do they kill the women on stage with the loudest fuck guns? But no one noticed.
I did enjoy that they were bumping around like they were back.
They were joining and they were like,
it was worth it.
It was like, hey, wait a minute, that's not the women.
That small plot hole of how the women died and they got replaced is worth it because they that
was
do
a
that.
Great scene. And then there was a weird, yeah, I've just put at the end Tom Jones ? Patty Animals ? And then he sings the song and it ends. And
I feel like that sums up the movie though.
Yeah.
Like, that statement just
leads
sums
you
up.
Saying why.
Same
why?
Reason that,
Tom
the same
Jones?
Reason that Cal loves Petting Rat Race, animals? I think I could love this movie, is that it ends with Tom Jones, like, with animals like Snow White coming at him as he sings It's Not Unusual and the movie ends.
But yeah, I mean, I'd like to know what. Like
the creative process, I think, at the end of that.
No, but like, because you said like about sort of setting that up as a plot point and not really liking when movies just kind of throw you for a loop and just kind of introduce a thing last minute to be like, oh, this will solve the problems. But I mean, you know, I mean, it's sort of, there's the argument of like foreshadowing versus just letting a sequence of events occur.
You think it'd be like, it's almost a Chekhov's gun because they play that song at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's, I mean,
I would
it's
say it's
so
more like
loose.
It's more like a
also
an
bullets
ex machina.
Like bullets, just regular bullets killed them.
Yeah.
So I was like,
they could have nuked them.
Yeah, it could have nuked them and won. Because they breathe nitrogen, which also our air is made of nitrogen.
Except the gun was nitrogen dioxide.
Yeah.
It's not nitrogen.
At all.
And it's in a solid form. I don't understand. How cold are they?
Yeah. Also, one thing I really liked was the costume. The costumes of when they dissected the aliens and they had the large bubble, the large clear like space helmet bubble dome heads. Mm. I was like, I just like that costume choice. I've got nothing more to comment about.
All the soldiers wearing 1950s gear, even though it's like almost 2000s, which is cool as.
Yeah, I was like, this is like really nice.
Which is why I'm saying
movies,
like,
but not clever enough.
I enjoy the aesthetic choices of the film. Like it's a nice homage.
Yeah, it was nice to call back to those
B
movies, but it just didn't
too in your face.
But it just it either wasn't too in your face or it didn't kind of do justice to them.
Yeah.
So that was disappointing. I'm out of notes. I haven't got anything extra to say. Does anyone have any final comments they want to make? Even though we'll probably make final comments when we rate.
My final comment when Natalie Portman's character, who is the daughter of the president, she hands out these Congressional Medals of Honor.
The highest.
She's like the Princess Leia.
Because, you know, her parents died during this horrible incident and whatnot. And
is she the president now?
She might be.
If everyone else dies, you become the
president. But I think the thing that we like kind of annoyed me and bothered me the most was, so she gives the medal to the grandma first and then kisses the grandma on the cheek in a nice gesture. And then she gives the medal to the dude, the kid. And then the kid's like, you don't have to kiss me if you don't want to. And then she's like, but I have to. And I was like, why do you have to? There's absolutely no reason.
And his speech. I guess that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to build houses. Although we should live in teepees because teepees are cool. All right, thanks. He steps away from the mic and I was like, well, that was... pathetic.
What an odd scene.
And then the movie, and then it cuts to Tom Jones exiting a cave and singing and patting animals. And I was like, this is an ending. This movie certainly ended.
I was kind of like shrugging my shoulders, like, ah.
Do you think it deserves a sequel?
No.
No.
Because, when the aliens come back,
it's
they can't not
get
be
another
weak.
Reboot in 50 years' time.
No, Independence Day resurgence happened. So,
conceivably.
Yeah. Just do a sequel.
It means it has to, yeah.
Yeah, do a sequel.
Alright, we'll start with ratings. I think we'll start with Kyle, because I think that's going to be the lowest.
Just outright rating out of 10?
Yeah, out of 10. I'll allow half marks for this one.
I'm very close to 3.5 or a 4.
Alright.
Alright, fair enough.
What's true in your heart?
I was pretty sure it'll go 3.5.
Good
enough.
Kaden? So in the grand scheme, like in the grand canon of all movies, this one to me sits at a 5.
Out of five?
Yeah, out of five. I think it's my first five, too.
Probably.
Yeah.
Ooh. I'll give it a four. I'm, like, I couldn't recommend this movie to someone unless they were like, I need a movie that's a little bit bad, but not bad enough to be good, and also stars a lot of very famous people. I will instantly recognize it.
I'd, like, only, I got the movie. I'd only recommend this movie if it was something, if someone was looking for something completely different from any kind of...
And just something like, it's schlocky. So
yeah.
Almost, but like, it's not enjoyable enough. Yeah, but,
should have been a short film with just the
president,
the two kids.
Yes.
Oh, just the two kids.
Half an hour.
Or my Tom Jones reconnaissance movie.
Tom Jones. I wanted Tom Jones so badly.
Like make it like Armageddon now, but it's Tom Jones and the Viet Cong are aliens.
That ending with the two kids in the video game. A great movie.
Yeah, Tom Jones and two black kids move around.
Those two black kids grow up to be Tom Jones.
Mm. Still have a president. And Crazy Army Guy.
Yes, Crazy Army Guy. I did enjoy that. This is one of the few movies that I'd... When they're like, do you know a movie where the bad guy is correct? And I'd be like, oh boy, do I have a movie where that is true.
But you don't want to watch it.
But you don't want to watch it because it's a big waste of time. Brad?
I'm going to give this movie a four.
Yeah.
I like the design of the aliens and...
True, they were well designed. Like, yeah. It was really nice
and
for that.
And the two guys, I think, hang on. The two guys who did the stop motion for Corpse's Bride, so Ian McKinnon and Peter Saunders, during pre-production, had basically created the Martians, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they were going to use for, like, puppetry and, mm-hmm. and stop motion and all that sort of stuff. And so they get a credit for designing those monsters.
Oh, nice.
For designing those aliens. So I'm kind of like, you can see that there was probably like a lot of care put into that, particularly like adapting or sort of, you know, paying homage to...
They are very like 1950s floppy aliens.
But very cool. Really, and very scary. Like the idea of having like sort of half sort of skull.
Yeah. And like the big silky robes. Like now if you look at aliens, you kind of look at like Paul or like even... Paul, kind of like grey, skinny, weird, long.
Yeah, like it's Roger from Family Guy. Either that, or it's some sort of, you know, insectoid sort of like thing, weird like something thing. Like District 9 sort of thing, you know what I mean? Just talking about like the robes and that sort of stuff. So I don't know if any of you guys have seen Barbarella.
No.
I don't know if that's good enough or bad enough to put on this
podcast,
but we should have a look because Barbarella is
absolutely... It's so terrible that we're like, I don't know if this movie is too good or too bad.
Is that the Uwe
like, this is show Ball with movie? Critics?
No.
Tell the Knights, it could be too good or too bad with critics. I have no idea.
So they took a lot of inspiration from like the costume design and that sort of stuff. Like that's sort of another movie that's sort of reminiscent of that is like the Flash Gordon movie.
Yeah.
Like that's sort of... regal sort of like overly stylized
what they thought we would look like now, where now we just wear t-shirts and pants and we're just regular people, and they were like they'll be dressed all in like
royal,
silver
so that's kind of what they thought
people in the future live in silver because it's hot and uncomfortable,
but so those guys deserve a bit of a credit. I think this movie would have been much better if it was
puppets
stop motion. I think the CGI for me just feels a little bit and it's like I figure you're sort of reaching for that B movie thing, you might as well go the whole way with it and just go
and save a lot of money.
Yeah, probably. So I'm going to give it a four. I think
that's fair. Without any final comments to say, and Kyle's total displeasure with this entire podcast, this may be his last episode.
So
unless I can cut him into something stupid,
I'm down to talk shit. I'm just
saying. I'm just saying.
Look, you're not wrong. People are like, people ask me how the podcast is going, and I'm like, it's going well, but I hate it.
It's going.
Because, like, as Keenan, people know, I have to kind of stop and go watch a good movie or a really bad movie now.
You're making me watch bad movies, though. I like it.
Yeah, because I watch 8 okay movies in a row, and I was like, I forget what makes a movie good. And so we had to sit down and watch, like, Moneyball. And I was like,
what a great movie.
Oh, I get it now.
But it heightens your... like pleasure and experience from watching a good movie. Exactly.
Yeah, like if you eat ever, then you have like one bowl of Mee Goreng. You're like, Mee Goreng is the greatest
movie. That's why Mars Attacks is so important for the movie industry because it makes all the good films or marginally better films better.
If every movie was The Godfather, this would just be called that would be the mediocre movie.
Yeah. You're doing a service, Mars Attacks.
Yeah.
We applaud you.
Thank you, Tim Burton.
We salute to you.
What's the final rating? It's way too low because we got 5, 4, 4, and 3.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm sorry, Tim Burton. And also, your Rotten Tomatoes score is far too high, because that's above average.
It's like 4.2 average.
Ooh, Mr. Mouse over here. Hey. Alrighty, thank you for joining us. Hope to hear from you again. John? Like, subscribe, Jonathan? Comment. Yeah, Jonathan. Oh, thanks, Jonathan. Send us a tweet when you've heard this episode.
I've been rad.
You've been... You haven't been rad.
No, I've been Brad.
The rad.
The rad.
I'm Riley.
I'm still kidding.
Kyle can't control himself.
Look, this messed up. This
we butchered this ending.
All right,
but that's totally fine because I'm not re-recording this.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.